think you're muted.
Yeah, sorry. Lon Holtgren, Town of Mansfield. I'm going to be muted for most of the meeting since I'm in a public space.
Thanks for joining us. Bruce.
Hello, Bruce Donald, Southern New England manager for the East Coast Greenway Alliance and the chairman of the Connecticut Greenways Council.
Excellent. Owen.
Hello, my name is Owen Deutsch. I'm a principal planner with the city of Hartford, and I'll be working with Grace Yee on some of her transportation projects and also coordinating the Riverwalk Trail and the south branch of the Park River Trail. Look forward to working with all of you.
Excellent. Patrick.
Hi, Patrick Zapaka with the Connecticut Department of Transportation. I'm a transportation planner and I manage various safety programs and corridor studies. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. I'm Director of Planning for the Town of South Windsor.
Mark.
Hi, I'm Mark Moriarty, Director of Public Works for the City of New Britain. I guess recent addition to the Condot's Bike Ped Advisory Commission.
Oh, nice. Caitlin.
Hi, everyone. Caitlin Palmer. I am also at the Capital Region Council of Governments with Tim.
Amy.
Hi, Amy Watkins, Watch for Me CT, which is a Connecticut DOT sponsored bicycle and pedestrian education program. I'm also on the Farmington Valley Trails Council and the Vision Zero Subcommittee on Education.
Patrice.
Good morning or afternoon. Patrice Carson, I'm the Consulting Director of Community Development in the Town of Bolton.
All right, and we have someone labeled as Robert iPad. Want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Robert Dickinson, just an advocate for off-road bicycle transportation.
Nice to have you. Tucker.
Hi, let me know if you can't hear me. I'm on a Bluetooth device. I'm Tucker Sauls. I work for Transport Hartford on our transit-oriented development project. That's Transport Hartford at the Center for Latino Progress.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. Good to have you. Grace.
Hi, everyone. I'm Grace Yee with the City of Hartford. Work with Owen and help on the bike and pedestrian efforts. Might have to hop off, but I will be lurking in the background.
Okay. Eugene.
Gene Nichols, Department of Public Health, Nutrition, Physical Activity Program.
All right. And did I miss anybody? Okay. Looks like we got everybody. All right. Next up is public forum. If anybody from the public would like to speak now, they may. There's also opportunity later when we do What's New in My Town. But if anyone has anything they want to bring up now, feel free. All right, hearing nothing, we'll go on to the minutes. And I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Our last meeting.
So moved, New Britain.
Second, Bolton.
Right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it's approved. Then the next thing on our agenda, we just have some updates and news. Before I put up my slideshow, though, I just got an email from Susan Smith at Bike Walk Connecticut today. I didn't have a chance to put this on the slide, so I just wanted to bring it up while I'm still remembering. So they are holding an LCI seminar in Glastonbury the weekend of October 14th through the 16th. It's an opportunity to be granted certification to teach bike safety education by the League of American Cyclists. Bicyclists. And she sent a flyer. I will post that to our website. It'll be on the event page for this meeting, which I'll also post the presentation and the audio from this meeting. But we'll put that up there for you so you can see all the details. but you can also probably just reach out to her directly if you have any questions. But with that, I will put up my slides. Let me share my screen. So first update from CROG is we have our active CT project. One of the projects that we're working on is in Groton. So this is our statewide CDC grant. So we work outside of the CROG region as well as in the CROG region. But in Groton, we're doing some temporary improvements centered on Bridge Street and North Street. We held a public workshop on April 19th and we are planning to install it now. We don't have a date yet. We're just working with the city on setting up that date to do a temporary installation of some of the improvements. This is sort of an overview of the design. All the green stuff would be new improvements. So there would be some additions of some curb extensions, some changes to the parking perhaps, and a few other changes. That one's going along nicely. City seems to be pleased with it. We just need to work out exactly when that's going to happen. We also are doing a project in Meriden. We're doing a parklet design and implementation and then activation plan. So this is a little plaza that they have in front of the downtown Meriden train station. And so we've come up with an activation plan to activate this as sort of a public space. And we're actually going to be buying some materials to implement. So buying some chairs and tables and tents and things like that to help the city put together some activation of the space. The one you see here is sort of an activation as a pop-up brewery, but there could also be, you know, a movie night sort of thing, and there's food trucks are a possibility. So just really trying to activate that space, get people to walk around in the downtown and enjoy that area. As part of the active CT project, we're also doing a trail plan in Newtown. So this is a routing plan for the extension of the Housatonic Trail into Newtown. So developing an overall routing plan and then coming up with some more detailed concepts for three locations along the trail, some trouble spots. It follows an active rail line, so there's some issues there. But we're coming up with a plan. We already have the overall plan and the team is just working on the detailed concepts for those three locations and working with the town to get some imagery done for that. We hope to have that done soon and provide the town with a nice concept plan so they can pursue some funding for some more detailed engineering designs. Also funded by the CDC, we have our BRIC in Hartford grants. It's about $60,000 of funding from the CDC. We installed diagonal diverters on neighborhood streets, one in Clay Arsenal and one in Frog Hollow. The diverters have been installed and painted. You can see an example here. There's also some planters at one of the locations. As an extension of this project, we're doing a neighborhood transportation plan in the Clay Arsenal neighborhood. We actually have next week scheduled a community walking tour and a public meeting on June 21st to get some input from the community. And to really see, you know, what are the trouble spots. So that's going to be a sort of a traffic calming plan for that neighborhood that our consultants are going to come up with. So we're pretty excited about that one. And the diverters seem to be working nicely. The feedback we've gotten from neighbors is that they are, you know, slowing cars down and, you know, helping to improve the situation there. Our TOD study, which I reported on last time as well, just looking at roles, visioning, viability, and financial tools at various TOD sites in 8 towns in the CROG region. Right now, the market study is underway. So they're looking at the financial feasibility of each of the sites, looking at what the market would bear as far as development. And we're planning our second advisory committee meeting. That'll probably be in early July at this point. Our bike share feasibility study updates. So in 2014, we did a Metro Hartford region bike share plan. A lot of things have changed since then. You know, for one, we have a fairly successful program for scooter share in Hartford. And also the technology has changed quite a bit. The business models have changed quite a bit for bike share and micromobility. So we are doing an update of that plan. Currently staff are reviewing the draft final report. We'll be sharing that soon. But it's going well, and there's a couple of recommendations for some business models, or organizational models for how to run a regional micromobility system that we'll be trying to pursue once that plan is done. East Coast Greenway Gap Study. So this is a study analyzing route options for the East Coast Greenway through Bloomfield, Hartford, and East Hartford, as well as probably a little portion of Simsbury as well. They're in the scoping phase right now, still working on scope and fee, but we do have a consultant selected, and we hope to get that project underway soon. But it's a fairly complicated project, with a lot of moving parts and a lot of different players, so it is taking a little longer to scope than we had anticipated, but we are hopeful that project will get underway. And this is really the last gap in our region for the East Coast Greenway. Once this project is done, every segment will either be planned, designed, or under construction, or finished. So we're excited about that. And then we also have the public comment period for our rapid routes study, which is it's a study of 6 transit priority corridors in the region, mostly in Hartford, but also extends into Bloomfield and Windsor and East Hartford. The public comment period runs through July 15th, and you can find more information on this as well as the draft document that they're looking for comments on at metrohartfordrapidroutes.com. In the presentation, the link is clickable, so that will be posted to our website, so you can go there and read the reports and provide inputs if you have any input. Also, just wanted to point out the website for the Greater Hartford Mobility Study is still looking for input on their universe of alternatives. I'm not sure how long they'll be looking for input on this, but it is still up there. They have a lot of bike, ped, and transit alternatives, and you can find more information at hartfordmobility.com. And then I imagine that Grace and Owen will be talking about this a little bit later, but I just wanted to point it out in case we didn't have anyone from Hartford here today. But Domingo Hartford is going to temporarily transform streets into car-free public spaces. This is based on the Cyclovia model that was in California, in Los Angeles, as well as it's been done a number of other places. They'll be doing this once a month from June to August. The first event is going to be on Farmington Avenue on June 26th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you can find out more at domingohartford.com. It's an exciting event. There'll be a lot of different stations where you can play games and find food, and there'll be entertainment and all sorts of things on these car-free streets. And then I just wanted to point out as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law, there's a lot of grant funds that are going to be coming available. One that is particularly interesting is called Safe Streets and Roads for All. And the purpose of this is to improve roadway safety by significantly reducing or eliminating roadway fatalities and serious injuries through safety action plan development and implementation, focused on all users, including pedestrians, bicyclists, public transportation users, motorists, and personal conveyance and micromobility users. So it's $5 billion over 5 years, so about $1 billion a year. And again, there's planning grants, and there's also implementation grants. And they're due on September 15th, 2022, this year. So they'll be doing this every year. So it's an exciting grant program. They expect to be able to do, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of proposals that they'll be able to fund through this grant program. And that's all I have for updates. But before we go into the what's new in your town, we do have a presentation from Patrick Zapatka on the CTDOT pedestrian safety strategy. He has some updates for that. So, Patrick.
All right. Hi, how's it going? I'm going to see if I can share my screen, Tim.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me just unshare my screen first.
Sure.
Share.
Awesome. And for Amy, this is going to be boring if she's still on the call because I think she just saw this about an hour ago.
Hey, I'd love a refresher.
All right. Great. Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can see it.
Great. So, you know, the Connecticut Department of Transportation created a comprehensive pedestrian safety strategy. Now, out of that safety strategy, we developed a program called Enhancing Pedestrian Safety Through Speed Management. And what is that? It's let me put my glasses on. The department has developed this Enhancing Pedestrian Safety Through Speed Management program in support of the strategy I just mentioned. It is designed to reduce and better manage traffic speeds on state highways that serve community centers with significant pedestrian activity. This multi-phase study will include an assessment of 5 community centers to evaluate opportunities to reduce traffic speeds. This portion will include an evaluation of the effectiveness of various speed management projects and programs to lower speeds on state roadways. These before and after studies will serve 2 major purposes. It's to inform the legislature on the effectiveness of legislative changes they make, and to inform state and local transportation officials about the effectiveness of various types of speed management options, including reductions in speed limits and related traffic calming measures. The lessons learned from these studies will help identify how the department can better manage traffic speeds on its roadways to reduce the risk of fatal and serious injuries to pedestrians. These lessons can be applied through community centers studied, but also more broadly to the community centers throughout the state. This may also guide future changes to the department policies and practices relative to pedestrian safety. Here's a GIS map of the locations that were given to us from OSTA. They derived from our Office of State Traffic Administration and or OSTA. We hired the consultant Fuss and O'Neill, and they're going to help collect the following pertinent transportation data at these locations, such as traffic counts, volumes, pedestrian and bicycle volumes, crash data, existing systems, existing conditions, plans, roadway geometry or geometrics, other related studies and plans in the area. This is going to help develop a baseline for us so that we can further pursue what kind of better traffic countermeasures we can make in that area. The consultant's also going to coordinate with the department to develop a definition for what a community center is, establish a set of criteria to help identify the most appropriate locations to study and implement improvements in critical zones. The definition, criteria, and characteristics and data analysis will be used under this task for the preliminary screening of 21 locations that you see on the map here. So here's a breakdown of the project scope that we developed with Fuss and O'Neill. You know, we wanted, out of the 21 locations, we wanted to create like a good baseline. You know, the data collection, it's very similar to how we perform RSAs, for example, the locations which they came from, the Office of State Traffic Administration. Now, when OSTA had provided those locations to us, some of those speed reductions were approved and denied for various reasons. But we're going to take a deeper dive and look into that and find out why they were denied and what we can do to try to reduce those speed limits. There's going to be a data analysis portion where our consultant's going to create like a criteria to help us figure out what these locations mean, what we can do. We're going to treat it as like a case-by-case scenario because not all locations are the same from urban, suburban, and rural areas. One cool thing about this project is once we do our final report and we come up with our recommendations, we're actually going to go ahead and incorporate and actually make those improvements on those roadways. Could be signage, could be sightline improvements, could be minor roadway improvements to reduce those speeds. And then we plan on going back and studying to make sure whatever countermeasures we recommend are actually going to work. So where are we today in this project? right now, our consultant did the data collection out of those locations. You know, they started to grade and narrow down, you know, what top five municipalities we're going to look at for these locations. As far as community center, we did create a definition, but it's only for the sole purpose of this program. It's not a generalized statewide definition that could be used elsewhere. Our community center definition is, this community center is an identifiable place of concentrated non-motorized bicycle and pedestrian activity that typically provides a mix of services and land use important to the municipality, its residents, and visitors that could benefit from reduced vehicle speeds. Another cool thing about this program that we started to do, we started to create like a toolbox of countermeasures that we recommend to reduce speeds. So typically when we say countermeasures, you think like sidewalks, you know, crosswalks, which is all very important for pedestrian safety, but you know, what kind of countermeasures can we use to actually reduce the vehicle speeds coming into these community centers and or pedestrian safety zones? It's a very draft preliminary, but it's gonna be kind of cool once we get this toolbox up and running. So that way, you know, if a municipality, you know, approaches the department and says, hey, we have a roadway, we have some high speeds, we don't know what's the best recommendation, we're going to have that toolbox that the town can pick and choose from to say, hey, maybe this is applicable and can be used here in this area. And it was a very brief 3-minute overview of the program. And that's kind of what we have today. Our goal is to, as far as schedule goes, hopefully by midsummer to the end of the summer, we're going to have our town selected and we're going to start drafting those final reports. And then hopefully in the spring of 2023, we're going to go out and try to make some of those improvements, actual roadway improvements or, you know, construction jobs. So that's a very brief overview of our program. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I'll just start off. I had a quick question. You mentioned that you're going to be implementing some of the improvements. Yep. How much money is there for the implementation phase?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing. Each town is different. We're probably going to look at recommendations that range from short-term, mid-term, and long-term recommendations. So if we can go out to an area and do some signage improvements, maybe some sightline improvements, you know, we might find in our operating budget, we could just take care of that. All these locations are going to be on a state roadway that we're going to look at. And then we're going to come back after the fact and say, do these actually work to reduce speeds? Another like mid to long-term, for example, that we're kind of looking at is for certain roadways that are a straightaway, for example, OSTA would never really approve natural reduction in speed limit unless there was a change. Yeah. Hello? Someone asking a question?
Okay. Hello. How are you doing? Good. My name is
There you go. I muted him.
Oh, thank you. So where was I? Oh, so for example, if we have a location that's a straightaway, a roadway that has sidewalks on both sides of the road, it's a wide roadway, wide shoulders, how are you really going to reduce speeds coming into that area? We might introduce like a modified chicane, for example, just throwing ideas out there. And that way we can change the geometry of the roadway so it forces vehicles to slow down. Now there's ways to look at it. You can do it with pavement markings, which what we've seen, I think Hartford has done something similar to that. Maybe we actually introduce like a median in the roadway where we introduce like a slight curve into the roadway. And why is that important? Because if we can change the geometry of the roadway to add a slight curve on a straightaway, when the municipality applies through OSTA, it's going to check some of those boxes to say, all right, you know what, this is going to change those warrants and be able to reduce the speeds from, say, 35 or 40 miles an hour down to a pedestrian safety zone, which I think is under the new legislation, 20 miles an hour, 25. So, you know, it's a roundabout way to answer your question, Tim, but I mean, we're looking at funding anywhere from smaller dollar amounts all the way up until, you know, whatever it may take to reduce those speeds. So.
Excellent. And can you talk a little bit more about the process of screening locations and how you'll get to your final ones?
Yeah, so right now what our consultant is doing out of the 21 locations, they're looking at each location. I'll go back to the map. So we have some in Guilford, Brantford, Warren, Connecticut, Andover, Newington, Plainville. It's a wide range, Stamford area. And what our consultant's really going to do is look at, is there any existing potential for multimodal transit infrastructure, existing potential for pedestrian activity and commercial, residential, or recreational spaces? Are there any non-motorized forms of transportation within the area, such as maybe sidewalks? Are there public transit facilities? Is there parking available for the facilities that are there, like in a public area or public service, recreational area? They're also going to look at the roadway segment themselves. So a lot of times, like these areas, if they're in like a community center, like Newington, this area right here is in, it's on Route 175 and Fenn Road. It's right in front of Stop and Shop. There's a Starbucks by the Fast Track station. So we may look at that area and find out what's there. You know, is there a high area for pedestrian activity? What kind of improvements can we actually make out there or not? So that's kind of how they're going to grade it. I think each location of the subsections that I just talked about, they'll have a grade from like 1 to 5. And then that way for each area, they can grade it that way and see how that kind of pans out.
Okay, excellent, thank you. Does anybody else have any questions?
I had a question, yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Right, so you're looking at the road dies of these areas. Have you guys checked out Windsor Center at all yet? I can't quite see the map very well.
Yeah, it's probably a horrible, I probably wish it was bigger. We did not. So for this particular program in itself, these locations were given to us through the Office of State Traffic Administration.
Right.
So I wasn't really involved with how that list came into my lap. So we have not looked at Windsor Center. However, we were kind of hoping that when we draft these actual reports and come up with our countermeasures or recommendations and with our toolbox, we're kind of hoping that could be a template for other municipalities right. to kind of follow. So for example, Windsor, if we do one in one town, and you know, this is all going to be a very transparent process. We'll have it posted online. That if the town of Windsor wants to look at it and say, how can we reduce speeds in our town center? Maybe they can see what our reports look like. They can kind of use that as like almost like a template base. So that way when they want to reduce those speeds in that town center, when they go to Oster, they have, you know, like an idea on what to work off of.
Okay. But it's I asked because I just did what's called a walk audit in Windsor Center. And when we do those, we typically, we take the AARP's walk audit website toolkit. And I'd be very interested to see what your guys' is, what did you call it? You didn't call it toolkit, did you?
We have a toolkit for countermeasures, but these countermeasures will be used for speed reduction.
So I'd be very interested to see that because the AARP one is obviously very focused on accessibility, a lot on the sidewalks. But a lot of the problems that we identified in that area had to do with the road diet, with the speeds that people were traveling and the insane like six-way intersection they had going there. Is your toolkit available online?
It is not. It's still in draft format. We're still developing it, but it's a lot of it came from our federal guidelines and stuff like that. Okay. When it does become finalized, it definitely will be available online. I mean, just so you know, I'm for the Connecticut DOT, I specialize in the road safety audit program. You called it a walk audit, but I've done well over 100 of those walk audits statewide. So I'm very familiar with that process, the data collection, and those type of recommendations and countermeasures that are developed through a walk audit. And just so you know, this pedestrian safety through speed management, it's very similar to what a walk audit or road safety audit is. And we did that on purpose because a lot of the municipalities that I work with, they're comfortable with the program. So I wanted consistency with the programs that we developed. So it's not too far off base. It's a little bit different, but I wanted the programs to be the same.
No, thank you. I appreciate that information.
Patrick, real quick, Eric Anderson in the town of Andover. Since you're featuring one of our roads, which we've attempted to grant fund a series of projects along. I'm wondering how I can get more information about this program specifically.
Sure. Like specifically like what the application was that we're going to look at for that area within Andover.
Okay. Yep.
Eric, what I can do is I can get your contact information, and then I can, if you'd like, I can send you an email, or we could talk online or on the phone, and then we can figure all that out.
Perfect.
I had an additional question for you, Patrick, on the implementation side of things. I am assuming, and maybe it'll depend on how much funding is available to you guys, are you going to be looking to implement permanent installations, or are you going to be first doing something a little bit more temporary before doing a permanent piece?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Between me and you, I think it depends on the district. we've been working with we have four districts within the state. Some districts are a lot more accommodating when it comes to temporary installments versus permanent installments. But I do think, depending on what the recommendation is we go forward with, it's probably more along with the permanent. Unless it's like a pavement marking or something. And I think the important thing out of this program, which is really cool, is not only are we going to just install it, we're going to study it after the fact to make sure it works. And I think the reason why we got these locations from, we're kind of keeping it in-house, DOT, because we wanted to make sure that whatever recommendations we move forward with are going to work. And I think it comes down to like a, not like necessarily a liability thing, but we wouldn't want to work with the town and say, all right, this is what we're going to do, build it. And then, you know, maybe it's not as effective as we wanted it to be. So I'm very curious to know that once we go out and build something, to actually go back and study it to make sure that whatever we recommended is actually really going to work. So, but to answer your question, I think it'd be more along the lines of a permanent installation.
Excellent. Anyone else have any questions for Patrick? Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Patrick. That was very interesting. I'm glad to see that the state has taken on this project. It sounds like a great project.
I thank you very much for having me on today. Sorry, it was like very, very brief. Hopefully it wasn't too short for you guys, but I could talk about this subject all day, every day. In the chat, I'm going to leave my contact information. So by all means, feel free to give me a call or send me an email, or if you want any more detailed information, that'd be great. And I'm pretty excited about the program. Like I said, as a pilot program, just keep in mind, changes are going to happen all the time. You know, it's not like completely set in stone. We're kind of figuring it out as we go along. So it's, it's challenging, it's exciting, and, hopefully we can, reduce those speeds and really improve pedestrian safety. So that's our goal, so.
Yeah, and would you mind, could you send me the slides and I can post them?
Yeah, I had like a questions, but I just gave a presentation at the Vision Zero Council before this meeting.
Oh.
It just ended like right at 12, and I had to do the pedestrian safety through speed management. I also did the road safety audit like update. So that's why I was interested. I think Robert, you were talking about walk audits. So I was like, that's why the presentation just ended the way it did. So, but I will send you that information. Definitely.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you. All right. So the next portion of our meeting is just, what's new in your town. And, to start us off, we'll just start calling on people in the order I see them on my screen. So Eric, you are first.
Sure. So I represent the town of Andover. We are about 75% complete with a connectivity grant project that provides a safe crossing across Route 6 and ties in a whole bunch of public facilities, including our library, town church, our recreational fields with the Hop River Rail Trail and our museum. And basically it's correcting a problem that we've had for a long time, which is difficulty getting across Route 6. The problem has always been that the center, the road cuts the town basically right down the center, and there weren't too many safe ways to get across. So we used the DOT funding, and we've been able to establish one that's working really well. The other thing is that there is a group that's trying to form right now called the Hop River Trail Alliance. So what it is a group that's trying to help with the process of looking after the Hop River Trail and trying to get all the towns to communicate well together. So the first meeting for that is tonight at 7 p.m. in Andover, and there should be representatives, town officials from all five of the towns that are along the trail. So I'm looking forward to that and hoping that we end up with an organization, you know, that's separate from the towns, but will function the same way, say, the Farmington Canal Trail, you know, organization does. So that's it for us.
Thank you. Martha, you're next.
So this is just the busiest time of year for us. I know all, you know, true of trails everywhere around the state, but we're glad to be back in full swing at Riverfront Recapture with events and, you know, daily events and our big festivals like our food truck festival and dragon boats and things like that. I mentioned before, we're developing a new park in the north end of Hartford and south end of Windsor. One thing I'll just highlight for the group is, and I'm going to drop it into the chat, is that we are going to be doing a series of community walking tours of the park. So this park is a piece in the puzzle that opens up the whole regional trail system it will extend from Windsor to the south end of Hartford. And one day we envision even further, but there are connections to Glastonbury and East Hartford, et cetera. So, we are building a park there, and an important thing is to reach into the community and find folks who are willing to give their input. And so kind of an early thing we're doing is partnering with Hartford Healthy Family Initiative in the north end of Hartford, which is very concerned with community health and getting folks out walking and safe routes around the city. And we're working with them to do these community walks. And so we have six of them planned over the next 3 months, and there'll be more in the fall. So, you know, please feel free to spread the word, or if anyone is ever interested in coming to see the park, just let me know. And I'm always happy to get out of the office and go for a walk in the park and show you the trail and all of that too. So I will drop that in the chat, and it's on our Facebook page and website. This is a connection. That's a link to our website.
That's Thank it. You. Next up, Bruce.
Lots of stuff, as you can imagine. One thing I do want to talk about before I do, Eric, I'll be there tonight. I think it's important that among other things, I was one of the founders of the Six Town Consortium for the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail. So I will speak if you want me. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this process because I think it's a great idea. So there's that. I did want to bring up one thing that's troubling, and which is that the bids were opened for Tarifa 1, which is far eastern Simsbury going into Bloomfield. That's the Hartford connector of the East Coast Greenway. The winning bid, so-called winning bid, was 30% over. And I bring this up because I know this is going to be a problem in the future, and I wanted everybody to know about it. I heard through the grapevine, Mark, that your bids were opened and the winning bid was 50%. Over. I think that's correct. That's New Britain.
It is.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. So, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, well, you know, so it's something we're going to have to address. So we had the Connecticut Greenways Council meeting this morning, which I think you all know that I chair. DOT was there. I asked if we could have a meeting with Hugh Hayward's office. As many of you are aware, Hugh is going to retire, but he's got his staff. And I really wanted to start a discussion with DOT about, you know, where's this money going to come from to build these projects? Because I mean, you know, let's be serious. If the minimum overage is 30%, we've got a problem in the state to get these projects done. So I wanted to throw that out there. I don't have a solution right now, but I do want you to know that I'm going to be talking to DOT. If any of you want to be involved in that, just, you know, let me know, obviously. But it's a problem. You know, it's, you know, the New Britons of the world and some other folks, you know, there's money around because they're larger. But when this starts to happen in, you know, you name the town, Plainfield, you know, where are they coming up with 30% of a capital project like that? And the answer is they're not. So, you know, it's something we need to address.
That's all. All right. I'll follow up with some of our people on the transportation side and see if they're aware of this. I'm sure they are with the LOTSIP program. I'm sure those bids are coming in high. So, but I'll see what their plans are to talk to DOT. Next up on my screen, Owen. What's new in Hartford?
Hello. Yeah, I'm still coming up to speed on all of our projects, but I have some notes from Grace and from our conversations. The South Branch Park River Trail is going forward. We're working on the design for that and securing easements through our consultant with DEEP and other property owners. We have, as far as striping and paving, supplemented implementation of that with new communications on online platforms and physical mailers for scooter share. We have new data on that. We'll be getting more data through an improved dashboard that we're talking to Super Pedestrian about, but we know so far that since last year, we've had over 230,000 rides and almost 500 link-up signups. As far as bike boulevards, we have been looking at improvements that were made to Hampton Street, and we'll be evaluating that further. But we know so far that there was about a 50% decrease in average speeds in one of those travel lanes. Domingo Hartford, as you mentioned, is coming up June 26th. And that's on Farmington Ave from 9 to 3. More information at domingohartford.com. And then in July, that will focus on Park Street and between Main Street and Cold Park in August. As far as streetscape projects, Bartholomew Avenue is under construction and Farmington Avenue and the North Main Street streetscapes are still wrapping up design.
Can I actually ask you a question, Owen? Which sure. This is like your third week. You might know. Is there a bike path going in down at like the Franklin Maple intersection?
I haven't had a chance
to walk it to know, but like they did like some really nice like sidewalks, maybe some bump outs, and like it looks like a bituminous slice of path through the concrete area. And I was curious. It looks nice.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've had conversations specifically about that, but I'll be sure to.
And I haven't asked Grace either. More. I've been forgetting. So, okay, just curious.
Sure.
All right, well, thank you. Next up, Lon, do you have anything for Mansfield?
I'm just listening today. Okay. Sorry.
No worries. Patrice.
Good afternoon again. Just a quick question for Eric. Who is attending for Bolton for you? Do you know?
I know Jim Rupert said he was going to be there.
Okay.
I don't know who that, else.
Then that's all you need.
Extended an invite to the first selectman also.
Okay, great. So from Bolton's perspective, we are finally through our public participation part and getting ready to begin construction on our connectivity project hopefully starting late this summer. We have noticed, obviously, definitely two things with regard to construction. One is increased prices for things and the delay in the ability to get some of the things like pipe and et cetera. So that's why I say late summer. And in a good fortune event, we had an application come in on Route 6 in town for the renovation of a gas station, and noticing that the gas station rear property abutted the Hop River Trail, we requested a review of a connection, even though it was, I won't say it's very far, certainly not far for hikers or somebody on a bike, but certainly we thought it would make a great connection to a gas station with a convenience store that people who might want to hop off the trail and get something to eat or drink or pump up their bike tires, et cetera, could use sort of a la the Cape Cod rail trail. The applicant was reluctant at the beginning, and we offered assistance of walking the area through a representative, actually the chairman of the Bolton Land Trust, and our wetland agent. They went out and decided that actually it would be beneficial to them and that they are going to construct that connection when they construct the gas station. So we were pretty happy about that and adding connections. Thanks, Bruce. But I just think it's important to connect some of these businesses, and also it gives you a way to get to them without having to get onto Route 6, for example, if you're on the trail. So I view that as a big win, and hopefully looking for more than that. We don't get that opportunity very much because we just don't have a lot of construction along that area or properties that are back up to the Hop River Trail.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on getting that done.
Thanks.
All right, next up, Mark.
Hey everybody, let's see. So we got a bunch of things in the works. We just completed our Complete Streets Roadmap, which is basically our second phase. It's a follow-up to our 2013 Complete Streets Master Plan for downtown. And this next plan pretty much looks at how we're going to approach Complete Streets citywide. How we're going to look at a bunch of different things in neighborhood revitalization, issues on state roads, bike ped issues. Have a webpage on the city website for it. If anybody wants to see it, I could share it. Spent pretty much past year of my life working on it, half time with a woman from Boston O'Neill that used to run Complete Streets for Mass Highway. Besides that, Bruce mentioned our Stanley Loop Trail. Our second phase of our Stanley Loop Trail was just put out to bid. Came in, was about just over $2 million cost estimate. The project came in at about $3 million. And our cost estimates compared to our projects that we put out have always been really pretty close. But this project did have two bridges in it. But you know, it was a pretty dramatic amount of money over what we bid it for. It seemed like we are going to be able to fund it, so we're happy about that. And it's a pretty great project that links CCSU to Stanley Quarter Park and AW Stanley Park and an earlier phase of the Stanley Loop Trail that we already built. Beeline Trail, which came out of Krog's gap closure study, we have two phases of that in design, one funded by a TAA set-aside grant, one by a community connectivity grant. The second phase, which is funded by a community connectivity grant and kind of easier money to get through the process, is set to go out to bid hopefully this fall. So that's going pretty well. We're anxiously waiting on Krog's application see what happens with the build grant, which would potentially fund the rest of the trail between Plainville and the CT Fast Track Trail in New Britain. So that would be such a home run. We have our John Downey Drive project, which is, it's a industrial park in the city, and we're doing a major road. It's a 4-lane road. We're going down to a 2-lane road with a side multi-use trail. Just like major pedestrian bike improvements and just the nicer streetscape. Art Street, kind of, we submitted an application for that. That would pretty much be our last downtown project of all the complete streets projects we've done downtown. It was included in our last master plan. I've never really followed up on it, but we submitted a lots of application for that and starting to think about that. And then besides that, city together with Bike and Britain, we're doing a bike rodeo, which is pretty much a different, how we, our bike safety event for a bunch of kids. Then we shut the downtown off, and it's a partnership between Public Works, Bike and Britain, our police department, Parks and Rec. But it's, we didn't have it last year. Actually, we haven't had the past 2 years just because of COVID, but getting back going on that, we're going to give away a bunch of bikes. Should be a pretty fun event. And aside from that, the only thing that is probably worth noting is that the massive amount of redevelopment and new development happening downtown New Britain related to our complete streets and bike ped investment is pretty mind-blowing right now. So if anybody ever wants to come take a look at what investing in complete streets can do to your community, I mean, we kind of took a blind leap of faith 10 years ago, and it's really been paying off even more than any of us really imagined it would. So, and that's it for me.
That's great. Yeah, there's quite a bit of development being proposed and under construction, and it's great to see. All right, next, Amy.
Hey, everybody. So watch for me. We are back in the swing of things. You know, not that COVID is over, but people are having events, so we are out and about. One of the things we continue to work on is our partnership with the Yard Goats Foundation and their ambassadors. We are planning a bicycle rodeo for Hartford youth on July 20th. And between now and then, we'll be at Domingo giving out bike lights and helmets. We will also be at an event in Keeney Park on the 25th of June, also giving out helmets and lights. And we, not really a bike ped thing, but sort of, is we have organized a training around distracted driving for teenagers, and it's a train the trainer. It's next Tuesday, the 21st, 9 to 1 in Wethersfield at the police department. It's free. We give you lunch, breakfast, and, we will be talking about this, the stats and the things around distracted driving, and then how to talk to audiences, especially teenagers and their families, about safety issues and behavior change and in ways that they can understand that they'll be receptive to. So I think you can take that knowledge and bring it to other topics. And obviously safe drivers is a key to having safe pedestrians and safe bicyclists. So Watch For Me is, we're out there doing our thing. If anybody has any events that they have in their town, I unfortunately can't make the bike rodeo in New Britain. I'm kind of sad about that. I like going every year, but I have a conflict. So yeah, we're just working along and pretty busy for this summer, busy time of year. Thanks.
Excellent, thank you. All right, Jean, do you have anything from DPH you want to report?
I think you covered most of the stuff in the beginning, Tim, with the work you've been doing with street plans initially in your presentation.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, Michelle.
Thanks. Yeah, I've got several things to report on. Our Clark Street Pleasant Valley sidewalks that were done through Community Connections are just about complete. Getting a lot of good feedback about that, so that's kind of exciting. We do have sidewalks under construction with our Beelzebub Road reconstruction, which is a pretty major reconstruction with water, gas, and then followed by the road. But it will include a sidewalk linkage, which will get us down to Avery Street, which you can then take the sidewalk all the way down into Manchester. So that's a pretty big link that we put in. We are under design with sidewalks potentially on Pleasant Valley Road, which would be really good because that would get us by our Pleasant, where the park is with the pool. That's kind of an area that kids walk along the side of the road now, so it would really be good to get a sidewalk put along that road with a reconstruction of that. We're designing sidewalks on Dart Hill Road with part of the ARPA funds. So that probably will go into construction next year. We're doing some sidewalk linkages just around town, you know, pieces that are missing that have been funded. So that'll go on over the summer. And then the cross-country trail that the Park and Recs have been working on, I understand, is still working on that design. We'll be in the process of doing our plan and conservation development, going out for an RFP to do an update. So we'll be taking a look at our sidewalk plan and getting that. I'm sure that'll be a community discussion on where and when and how much sidewalk we should have where. So that'll happen over the next year. And then the other thing, I just will put a plug in for Evergreen Walk. They've finished a trail system that really would take you about 45 minutes to walk from Deming all the way down to where L.L. Bean is. And it gets you way out kind of into a wetland area. A lot of nature out there. They're going to put a lot of maybe some blinds. They're going to do a lot of environmental signage out there. So it's kind of, they're going to put some linkages. You know, you talk about getting to the commercial areas. They're going to put some linkages from the backs of the shops out into there. So you can really take a walk that you can take you 45 minutes to an hour while someone else is shopping. So that's kind of exciting, but that's all, you know, private development. But they're, you know, they're looking for the town to get Wi-Fi out there, and they really want to try to make it an asset for people when they come into the area. So that's kind of exciting to see happen too. That's pretty much it in South Windsor.
Excellent, thank you. Let's see, Robert, do you have anything you want to report? And you are muted, by the way, if you're trying to talk. Maybe we lost him. Tucker, do you have anything?
Yes. So I'm working in Hartford on two different walk audits right now. One over just on the border of West Hartford on New Park Ave. We'll be working with the Small Business Collective on that. The date on that is TBD. We're having a meeting tomorrow to finalize it. On July 16th, we're doing a walk audit of Parkville, specifically in the areas that are going to be the beneficiary of the Parkville Innovation District around the CT Fast Track station. I know someone else was talking about doing some stuff in Hartford around there earlier, especially in Bartholomew. I actually started the walk audit myself as a preliminary. And I've seen some of the work done on Bartholomew. The sidewalk there looks really, really good. But we're trying to link it, everything around there up to the fast track line. One issue that's actually interesting is the fast track line is really, really effective. We're going to probably have to talk about the drug use in the train station there at some point. It's pretty, that's an interesting wrinkle I didn't honestly expect to see. So we'll probably have maybe a representative from the local police or something there to see what strategies they have to try to get those people the help they need. So those are the two walk audits happening in the near future in Hartford. Sorry, I'm like I said, I'm on the way. I'm in transit at the moment, so it's hard for me to. Yep, right there. Anyway, thank you. Anyone have any questions on the walk audits going on in Hartford?
What was the first one that you mentioned?
So that, I'm sorry, that was New Park Ave. Oh, New Park. In West Hartford that goes into Hartford. Right there, there's a lot of really, really poorly used or either just empty space or misused space along that road. What we like to do is we're going to focus on the walk and bike ability of it. And then we bring in Desegregate Connecticut to talk a little bit more about the housing and the land use policy surrounding.
I don't have a question so much as I have, and you may have been in this meeting yesterday, perhaps. The Hartford Complete Streets meeting was held yesterday, and somebody happened to mention that the pedestrian situation at the exit to the Parkville Market area, she flagged it as problematic.
It is, yeah, for several reasons. That's where we're centering our thing. So that what we have there is, we have some sidewalks. There's some construction happening. The crossing is a little tricky. It's kind of a high speed avenue. There's not a signalized, there's no signal there for pedestrians. And there really should be with that level of congestion. If they were talking about that, then that's something we'll address in the walk audit. Also right outside there, like I said, the open drug use is also a something that we experienced just walking through there once. So my guess would that be that I was not in that meeting, but those are probably the two things that they were most concerned with. Did they mention anything else?
That was the one that just jumped out at me since you're talking about doing a walk on it over there. So,
yep. There's a,
How can a person get more information about the walk audit or participate in that?
So, if you'd like to participate in the walk audit, it's on our Facebook page, Transport Hartford Academy. If I wasn't traveling at the moment, I'd have it up on the screen now, but, it's at you can find it at Transport Hartford on Facebook. There's also an Eventbrite. If you look up Parkville Walk Audit, you should find it. We're partnering with Real Artways, so you can find it on their website and Desegregate Connecticut. And you can likely find it on their website at this point.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions about the walk audits coming up in Hartford?
Oh, and it looks like Caitlin just put a link in the chat, so.
Oh, thank you, Caitlin.
All right, well, does anybody have anything else? Did I miss anybody?
Tim, could I just add something quick?
Sure, of course.
Jimmy Nichols, Department of Public Health. I just wanted to add also, we have a small pocket of funding from CDC for the block grant, where we work with local health departments throughout the state. And I just wanted to, you know, there's Fairfield, New Britain, Groton, Brooklyn, it's Northeast Health District, that we provide money to do some complete streets projects and trail projects in their areas.
Thank you. Okay, well, if there is nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Nope. Second.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Is anyone ever opposed to that one? All right. Well, thank you all for coming.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye, guys.